Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Wednesday, April 17th. On today's show, tree planting search engine Ecosia will monitor reforestation from space and ISS space debris landed on a Florida family's home. Plus, NASA seeks cost-cutting solutions for Mars soil sample return amid budget trims. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with some exciting news from the world of environmentalism and technology. Berlin-based Ecosia, best known as the tree planting search engine, has teamed up with French startup Canop to monitor its reforestation efforts from space. Ecosia claims to have planted 200 million trees since its inception in 2009. To learn more about this partnership and what it means for Ecosia's mission, we're joined now by our correspondent. So tell us, how has Ecosia been tracking its tree planting efforts up until now?
Well, David, to date, Ecosia has been monitoring its tree planting projects using ground-based observations. But now, by partnering with Canop, they'll be able to take their monitoring to a whole new level, quite literally by using satellite imagery. Canop, based in Paris, utilizes optical, radar, and LIDAR satellite data from NASA, ESA, and the Japanese Space Agency. They feed this data into AI algorithms to create detailed digital twins of the forests. These digital models contain valuable information on the biomass in the forest, allowing Ecosia to better monitor the health and growth of the trees they've planted and quantify the impact in terms of carbon dioxide removal from the atmosphere.
That's fascinating. It sounds like this partnership with Canop is a major step forward for Ecosia's reforestation efforts. But why is this level of monitoring so important? Isn't the act of planting the trees the most critical part?
You raise a great point, David. While planting trees is certainly important, it's really about more than just putting seeds in the ground. The goal is to restore entire ecosystems so they can effectively act as carbon sinks. Ecosia claims that each search made on its platform removes 1 kilogram of CO2 from the atmosphere, but they can only confidently make that claim with accurate monitoring in place. As Romain Faux, CEO and co-founder of Canop, put it, this is an example of tree planting done right and should be standard practice to ensure holistic reforestation.
That makes sense. We've seen some examples in recent years of large-scale tree planting programs that, while well-intentioned, have actually made matters worse in some cases. Can you explain how that can happen?
Absolutely. Planting the wrong species of trees in the wrong place or at the wrong time can actually reverse efforts to heal the planet. That's why it's so critical to support the right projects from the start and carefully monitor their impact over time. Ecosia believes their approach, now bolstered by this satellite monitoring partnership, helps hold the tree planting industry accountable when it comes to comprehensive, long-term reforestation.
It's encouraging to see a company like Ecosia, which makes its money from ad revenue and dedicates all its profits to tree planting, taking such a thorough, science-based approach. Thank you for that insightful report on this exciting new partnership between Ecosia and Canop. In other space news, a piece of debris from the International Space Station recently crashed through the roof of a home in Naples, Florida. The family living there was shaken, but thankfully unharmed. NASA has now confirmed the object was part of a cargo pallet released from the ISS back in 2021. For more on this story, we turn to our space correspondent. What can you tell us about this incident?
Well, David, this cylindrical piece of metal alloy, identified as Inconel, was about 4 inches tall and weighed 1.6 pounds. It was originally part of a pallet holding aging nickel hydride batteries that the ISS discarded. The total mass of that released hardware was around 2.6 tons. NASA uses complex models to predict how objects will heat up and break apart when re-entering the atmosphere, but this particular piece seems to have survived the journey unexpectedly.
It's quite remarkable that no one was injured, given the size and weight of this object. How rare are events like this?
The European Space Agency estimates the risk of being hurt by falling space debris is less than 1 in 100 billions. However, the amount of junk in low Earth orbit has been accumulating rapidly since the first satellite launch in 1957. There are now estimated to be at least 36,500 objects greater than 10 centimeters, a million between 1 to 10 centimeters, and a staggering 130 million under 1 centimeter. While the chances of these items causing injuries on the ground remain very low, the increasing debris is posing a growing threat to satellites and other space technology due to potential collisions in orbit.
So what is being done to address this issue of space debris?
NASA says it is committed to responsibly operating in low Earth orbit and mitigating risks to people on Earth when hardware must be released. In light of this recent incident, the ISS will be conducting an investigation and updating its modeling and analysis procedures. Many space agencies and private companies are also researching ways to clean up existing debris and prevent further accumulation, as it poses hazards to both crewed missions and the rapidly growing satellite infrastructure modern society relies on. Proposed solutions range from nets and harpoons to lasers and robotic arms, but implementing them remains a major technical and logistical challenge.
It's a fascinating and complex issue. Thank you for that insightful report on this unusual event and the wider implications of space debris. Speaking of challenges in space exploration, NASA is feeling the pinch of budget cuts and is now looking for more cost-effective ways to achieve its Mars mission goals. The space agency is particularly focused on finding an economical method to retrieve valuable soil samples from the Red Planet and bring them back to Earth. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent at Simply Space. What can you tell us about NASA's approach to dealing with these financial constraints?
NASA representatives held a conference call with journalists where they outlined their plans to address the primary scientific objectives of the Mars mission while working within a tighter budget. The key goal they emphasized was the retrieval and return of Martian soil samples, which are considered incredibly valuable for further study and analysis here on Earth.
Did they provide any specifics on how they plan to achieve this goal more cost-effectively?
NASA officials indicated that they are actively seeking alternative proposals for more streamlined and budget-friendly approaches to the Mars sample return mission. They anticipate having these proposals ready for review by late fall or early winter of this year. The aim is to find solutions that maintain the scientific integrity of the mission while reducing complexity and overall costs.
This is certainly a challenging task, balancing scientific ambitions with fiscal realities. What are some of the potential implications of these budget constraints on NASA's Mars exploration plans?
Budget trims can force NASA to prioritize certain aspects of the mission over others. In this case, they are clearly emphasizing the sample return as a top priority. However, this could mean scaling back or delaying other components of Mars exploration, such as sending additional rovers or expanding the scope of scientific investigations on the planet's surface. It's a delicate balance, and NASA will need to make tough choices to ensure they can still achieve meaningful scientific results while working with more limited resources.
It will be interesting to see what cost-cutting solutions NASA comes up with and how they will impact the future of Mars exploration. Thank you for your insights on this developing story. Speaking of NASA, the agency and Boeing are gearing up for a major milestone next month as the aerospace company prepares to launch its Starliner spacecraft with humans on board for the first time. The spacecraft, which will be launched atop a rocket built in Decatur, Alabama, has just completed a 10-mile journey from the processing facility at Kennedy Space Center to the launch site at Cape Canaveral. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent at Simply Space. What can you tell us about the preparations for this historic mission?
That's right, David. This is a huge step forward for Boeing's Starliner program. The spacecraft was just transported to United Launch Alliance's Vertical Integration Facility, where it will be mated with the Atlas V rocket that will carry it to orbit. This mission, known as the Crew Flight Test, or CFT, will see NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams spend about 8 days on board the International Space Station after launching as early as May 6th. Before leaving the processing facility, Starliner underwent fueling operations to load the propellants it will use during its journey. Engineers had to carefully weigh the spacecraft and ensure its center of gravity was precisely calibrated. Several astronauts, including some who are assigned to future Starliner missions, were on hand to see the capsule off as it made its overnight trip to the launch pad.
This will be the first crewed mission for Starliner, but it's actually the spacecraft's third trip to space, correct? Can you remind us about the previous test flights and some of the challenges the program has faced?
Boeing has had a bit of a rocky road with Starliner. The first orbital flight test in 2019 encountered software issues that prevented it from reaching the space station as planned. That forced the company to refly the uncrewed mission last year before proceeding with astronauts on board. Additional technical problems then pushed back the crewed flight even further. So while SpaceX, the other company in NASA's commercial crew program, has already flown multiple crewed missions with its Crew Dragon capsule, Boeing is still working to get Starliner certified to carry astronauts on a regular basis. If all goes well with next month's test flight, though, that will pave the way for routine crew rotation missions to the ISS.
And this will also mark the first time that United Launch Alliance sends humans to orbit, despite the company's long history of launching satellites and robotic probes for NASA and the military. Is that right?
Yes, ULA has dozens of launches under its belt with the Atlas and Delta rocket families, but the CFT mission will be the first to carry people. It's a major milestone for the launch provider. And there's a lot riding on this flight, not just for Boeing and ULA, but for NASA as well. The space agency is eager to have a second U.S. spacecraft capable of ferrying astronauts to and from the space station. Right now, NASA is relying solely on SpaceX for those taxi flights, and having redundancy in the system is seen as critical. So a successful test mission next month would be a big win all around and help ensure the long-term viability of the ISS program.
It will definitely be fascinating to watch this mission unfold, and we'll have full coverage of the launch next month. Thanks for that update. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.